This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Alexandria Brown. Right now, we'll be turning it over to the Arkansas State Capitol, where Governor Asa Hutchinson will be providing a live media briefing on the coronavirus pandemic. As we wait for the governor, I'll give yesterday's COVID-19 report. Arkansas set a new record for the number of people being hospitalized because of COVID-19 Monday. The Department of Health reported 103 additional hospitalizations, which was the biggest one-day increase, with 1,376 people being treated. The state's previous record during the coronavirus pandemic was in January. It was reported only 8 intensive care unit beds were available in the state yesterday. There were just under 1,000 new cases of people being tested positive for the coronavirus. There were 21 new deaths. The spike comes days after an Arkansas judge temporarily blocked the state from enforcing a law that prevents schools and other government entities from enforcing mask mandates. The governor has now entered and will take the podium.
Hello, Eddie. Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me for today's weekly update. And I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero of the Department of Health, Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education. We have Don Steele with the Department of Human Services, and I want to thank you for their participation, each of you. Let's first start with the case report I want to review, and then we will go through a couple of announcements and comments today, and we have a number of things to cover. But let's first look at the case report over the last 24 hours. As you can see, we went up another 2,620 cases, which is a little bit higher than a week ago. And the active case is up. Total deaths is very sad to see 24 additional Arkansans that have succumbed as a result of COVID-19. In terms of the hospital data, we see again that we have 59 increase. Yesterday it was 103, today it's 59. Certainly it reemphasizes the stress upon our hospitals, 8 new on ventilators, even though we do have sufficient ventilator capacity here in Arkansas. You can see the numbers by the 3 leading counties. Our testing is continued to be significant simply because people are asking for it, and it's a result of the risk that they see in the state. In vaccinations, again, we had a very strong day with 11,000 doses that were given yesterday. And the significant fact that I've been looking at for a long time is we crossed the 1.1 million mark for Arkansans fully immunized. And so that was encouraging us to see. We actually had 4,380 that have been fully immunized. And so that's the case report. If you go to the next one, we can see a couple additional pieces of information. This is the percent of active cases 18 and under. And this starts January 11th through August 10th. And it gives us some comparative data. And so you can see last year, 2020, so right at a year ago, 12% of our cases, active cases, were 12 and under. And then in January 11, we were still dealing with the virus, but it's 14%. But with the new Delta variant, you can see it's 19%. And that is a factor that is important for us all to recognize. Next, you'll see the breakdown of those that have been vaccinated and not vaccinated in terms of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. The Department of Health adjusted the data based upon questions and feedback to make it more representative. And so last week it was January, but the vaccinations really weren't out significantly then. So we moved the date forward to February to give it a more accurate representation. And so in cases, 8% I'm going to go a different way. 92% of all the cases have not been fully vaccinated. Of the hospitalizations, it's 93% have not been fully vaccinated. And in terms of deaths, right at 92% have not been fully vaccinated. If you go to the next slide, you will see just simply where I keep looking for a breaking point where we might start going down again. And even though there's been some national predictions on that, we just don't see it in the data yet. You can see that we continue to increase week after week in our cases. And so with that, let me focus on one particular issue today, and that is our Medicaid beneficiaries and their vaccination rates. The fact is that we took a close look at this, and our Medicaid beneficiary vaccination rates are very low. In fact, only 27,000 traditional Medicaid clients aged 12 and up have been vaccinated. Now, to put that in perspective, we have 627,000 recipients on traditional Medicaid, and that means that 4.3% of traditional Medicaid recipients are vaccinated. That is extremely, extremely low in a very vulnerable and at-risk population, and it's a challenge for us. We have to do better for this vulnerable population, and you can see with the distinction really between a state like Arkansas that has a high Medicaid population versus some of the states in the Northeast has higher vaccination rates, but they have lower Medicaid population rates. And so this is something we've got to work on uniquely in our state. And so one way to improve these numbers and outreach is to encourage more physicians to engage with the beneficiaries on the vaccines and to answer questions, consult with them at length, and to encourage vaccinations as these beneficiaries will go into the physician or provider's office. Today, I'm announcing that Arkansas will be increasing the COVID-19 vaccine administration reimbursement rate for physicians from $40 to $100. This will be for the two doses of Pfizer and for Moderna and the one dose of J&J. I am asking all providers who serve traditional Medicaid clients to reach out to those who are not vaccinated, offer counseling to them, answer any questions about the benefits of the vaccination, give them the medical information that they need, and it is going to be billable to Medicaid. This, if we get the word out sufficiently, and Don has taken the lead in this and will be communicating with our physician groups, our provider groups, to encourage their understanding of this. They're reaching out to our Medicaid clients and that they will come in and get this counseling. And it's an incentive, obviously, for the physicians because of the not just the good it will do, but because it's a very healthy reimbursement rate that we're increasing it to. Secondly, I want to talk about education as we get ready for school. I ask Secretary Key to get us a marketing program, an initiative ready for going back to school and increasing vaccination. So I'm pleased to announce that they have adopted Stop the Hesitation, Get the Vaccination program for our schools, and they will be working closely with our schools to increase the number of clinics that they have to encourage this with marketing tools throughout the state to encourage continued vaccination of those that are 12 and above. And then secondly, we're looking at a supply of high-efficiency filtration masks that we can make available for the schools. And I recognize that the schools are making different decisions, and that's the prerogative they have. But regardless of whether they have a mask mandate in the school or not, there's going to be children that come there that need masks, that maybe they got rid of their masks last year. We want to help the school districts have an adequate supply of that, particularly the high-efficiency filtration mask, and we hope that that will be available in before school or soon thereafter. We're working very hard to get that supply ready. And so with that, I have some other comments, but I got a feeling you might be asking questions that will lead to those. And so let me ask Dr. Romero if he'll come and make his comments, followed by Secretary Key.
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero will now take the podium.
Thank you, Governor. So let me give you a quick update of immunizations of individuals 12 to 18 years of age. So at this time, we have 58% of that population has received a single dose, and 36% has received a single dose, and 20% have received a full dose, full immunizing series. It's important to note that these children are at risk, we are seeing significant increases in the number of individuals within that age group and younger hospitalized, and that the protection really is for the 12 to 18-year-olds. For individuals younger than that, it's very important that they be encouraged to wear masks when in public and specifically when they go to school. We've already had an outbreak in one school district that continues to increase in number, and we can foresee that happening as we move forward into the school year without proper masking. Thank you very much.
Education Secretary Johnny
Key. Today, the Department of Education released updated guidance for schools through the Ready for Learning guidance mechanism. And that the changes there reflect the changes that the CDC made just shortly after we released our original guidance 2 weeks ago. Our guidance reflects their guidance. We vetted it, worked with the health department to make sure that it is aligned. That change is simply about the mask and face covering recommendation for all students in the schools. It is a recommendation, certainly is not a mask mandate, but we are also making sure that schools are aware of the current status of the court case in Judge Fox's court. As the governor said, we're also launching a vaccination campaign to encourage those students that are eligible to get that vaccination. And I'll give you an example I heard today. A medical provider was having a conversation last week with a student. He was a football player, he's 14, and she asked, would you like to get the COVID vaccine? He said, no, doc, I'm good. I really don't think I want that. And she continued the conversation, and she got his football schedule, and she said, well, let's just look at this. If you become a positive case, it's 2 weeks, and then here are some other games you're going to miss to make sure that there are no long-term medical issues that we need to follow up on. And at that point, after understanding the impact that that would have on his football season, he decided, you know what, I think this is a good idea. I probably do need to get the vaccine. Those are the conversations that we are encouraging local medical providers to have with your students, with the parents in your school district, and we're encouraging district leaders to actually bring those medical providers in, those local trusted voices, so they can have those conversations and answer whatever questions that parents and students may have.
Thank you, Johnny. And with that, we'll take any questions.
Two questions. One to ask you about the ICU capacity. What's being done right now to address just the lack of ICU space that we've seen so far? And also, second question, want to ask you about the status of the Fox or the Fox ruling, your response to it. Have you talked to the AG about it? Are you still looking at retaining outside counsel to have your own voice in that case?
First, on the ICU beds, we're watching that very carefully, and we're taking action. And so we first worked with the Hospital Association to free up additional space with beds, which means that they're having to really monitor the other acceptance of healthcare needs and to make sure that they have adequate ICU beds available. Secondly, as you know, I want to applaud the General Assembly for their support of the request for American Rescue funds to be used for staff expansions that will open up additional ICU beds. And so through specific hospitals, we're opening up additional beds that will be available for COVID patients, as well as providing funding for staffing. As you know, we did have a team from HHS and FEMA to come in and evaluate our hospital situation to see if we're missing anything. And so we are working with them. I've got information from them. We're trying to implement some of the suggestions that they have put into place. And so a lot's happening in that arena to make sure that we can look ahead and get ahead of the curve on ICU space. It is obviously very limited. I believe yesterday we had eight ICU beds that were available. Today it is just a few more than that, but it is still very, very close. And the same thing is true with Children's Hospital, that for their pediatric patients, they have a slim margin. They do have some space, but that's one of the things we've got to work both to reduce the cases and the exposure, but also to plan ahead because it looks like we're going to have pressure on the hospitals for some time. In terms of Judge Fox's decision, I have advised the Attorney General's office that I will be seeking outside counsel for that. And let me emphasize, the Attorney General has always provided the best level of representation for me. She has a responsibility to represent the people of Arkansas. It's just that there's an inherent conflict here that's unavoidable. So I will be seeking counsel that will be able to represent my views in, on that case as it proceeds. Right now, we do not know what action the Attorney General will take as to whether there will be an immediate interlocutory appeal to the Arkansas Supreme Court or whether they'll go to a trial on the merits. I don't know yet, but under either circumstance, I will be retaining individual counsel to represent me in my official capacity, and you'll have more information on that as that develops.
Now that Act 1002 is not in effect, what's the reason for not implementing a statewide mask mandate? And short of that, would you encourage businesses and cities, other people to require masks?
No, I've said very clearly I do not support a statewide mask mandate. I don't know of very many governors actually that are moving that direction. And the reason is that we want the focus to be on vaccinations. That is the way out of it. Now, CDC has recommendations that we have adopted here at the state that do recommend mask wearing in indoor space, whether vaccinated or not. That's with the Delta variant, that is the level of protection that is a recommendation that we have. But we're not going to put in place a statewide mask mandate. And with the Judge Fox's decision, setting aside Act 1002, which I support, it gives local jurisdictions, including schools, that option. And I think that puts us in the right position because it's not a statewide necessity now. You look at it area by area, the recommendations are there. And the concern I've always had are those that are 12 and under that do not have a vaccine available to them. And that's the reason I wanted 1002 amended. So that the schools can have the option to protect that age group.
It sounds like you don't have any objection to like cities or other entities that want to require a mask if they want to do it.
Well, they have the independent authority to do it. I'm not in favor of it. I am in favor of the schools exercising that option, and I applaud many of them for taking those steps. But I think at this point, the mask mandate is not something that is a useful tool. People know what they need to do. They have the guidelines in place. And I think it is, obviously, it's their prerogative, but it's not something that I'm pushing.
Back to the surge response team that came here to address the hospital situation, are you able to divulge any of those suggestions that they gave to address this problem?
Well, a number of the suggestions that they made, we've either implemented or already in the process. Now, that doesn't diminish the report, but for example, one of the recommendations that they made was on reference to monoclonal antibody administration, that they wanted us to make that more available through the hospitals. They see that it is limited, that many of the hospitals are or facilities are not pushing that out, which it is such a great therapeutic. And of course, if that's successful in an outpatient clinic setting, then that's going to free up space. So that's one of their recommendations. Well, simultaneously that with that recommendation, we had approval of use of American Rescue Plan funds to give our hospitals $1,000 per licensed bed to encourage administration and offset costs for use of monoclonal antibody administration. That cost $9.6 million. So that's just one example. Now, there's others that I would look at more carefully, but that's the only one that I can really recite as a very specific point that we are trying to address.
What's the reaction seeing this, you know, this trend of ICU beds being at such a low capacity? I mean, essentially getting back to where we were during kind of the first surge of COVID, what's the reaction from you seeing it in this, for lack of a better word, bad of a spot?
My reaction? Well, I think we're in worse position in terms of our ICU beds than we were in January. And partly, largely because of the other health needs that we have that occupy ICU beds. And so, and then the solutions are more difficult and the pressure points are more difficult. So that's my reaction. And more importantly, what action are we taking? And I've recited some of those, but I'll also be convening tomorrow another meeting of our hospitals, which is our winter task force, to look at any other ways that we can address this. So a number of steps are being taken, but everybody has to realize this is not a good time to get sick because the space is limited. Dr. Romero, did you want to say anything more on that?
I have a question for Secretary Key. I know that the Department of Ed changed their guidance about mask wearing to align with the CDC. But do you personally agree with Judge Fox's decision to allow schools to issue this mask mandate?
Well, I think Education Secretary Johnny Key. To avoid trying to opine on what judges think and don't think, because it's a preliminary, temporary order at this point, there's a lot that's going to take place in those proceedings. I think our focus right now is to help make sure schools make the best choice for their local school district, and helping them, guiding them as they go along those decision-making processes. We want to assist them. We want to have a successful school year. If they choose masking as one of the multiple strategies to that, then we're going to support them in that effort.
I have a question for Mr. Keith. I was wondering if you can give me some more details of sort of what the campaign is going to involve. Is it going to have presentations that will be done in schools, or is it going to have teachers have the responsibility to suggest these things to students, things like that?
Well, I think it's going to be a continuation of many of the things that we have already engaged in and the health department has engaged in. I think we will see a number of social media efforts targeted to our student population, especially those that are in the 12 and up category. Also providing information for parents so that they understand better. You know, one of the questions we get concerning the vaccine is about the safety of the vaccine. Well, you know, the technology of the Pfizer vaccine has been under development for a number of years, but that's not information that parents have readily available. And when they do get it, it's in very technical medical terms. We want to try to boil this information down into terms that that everyone can understand and create confidence in the efficacy of the vaccine.
Let's go remotely to see if there's a question.
Hey, Governor, this is Chelsea Helms with KNWA in Fayetteville. I have two questions for you. My first is, President Joe Biden had encouraged states to offer a $100 incentive to those who aren't yet vaccinated. Is this something that Arkansas is considering doing? And then my second question is, ACHI issued a release today ultimately saying schools should consider pushing back the start date. Is this something that you think should happen? You know, what's your reaction to that overall?
In reference to an additional incentive, we look at every option as to how we can increase vaccination rates. My experience has been that the incentives have not worked very well in terms of the general public. They do work well in terms of the workplace, including state employment. We did offer an incentive that has borne success, and so we'll continue to look at it, but at this point, we have no plan to implement additional incentives in reference to the general population. Secondly, in reference to ACAI's recommendation that school be considered to be delayed, I'm not in favor of that. I've discussed this with both Secretary of Education and Dr. Romero, and you know, whether you delayed it 2 weeks, all you're going to do is you're still going to be left with 12 and under not being able to be vaccinated, so that challenge is still there. You're still going to be faced with low vaccination rates, even though we hope to improve those. And so we don't see any advantage by delaying school. People are planning on that. Everything is geared toward that. And we cannot risk another year of school. We have to get off to a good start. We want to stick with the date that has been planned and do everything we can between now and then to make it a safe environment.
Governor, this is Benjamin Hardy with the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network. I have two questions, actually. First, when you say you're working with the Hospital Association on ICU space, has that involved any adjustments to nurse or respiratory tech staffing ratios in ICU, or any adjustment to the standards that hospitals are using to admit patients to the ICU? And then the second question is about the figures you gave regarding the vaccination rates among traditional Medicaid recipients. I wonder if that's inclusive of nursing home and other long-term care residents, and if there's evidence that nursing home residents on Medicaid are being vaccinated at a lower rate than other nursing home residents. It just seems like a low number considering a lot of nursing home residents have received the vaccination.
All right, what was your first question again?
My first question was about whether there's any adjustment to nurse
it.
Or...
To the ratios, and the answer is that flexibility is already available for our hospitals, and so they have flexibility under laws that the legislature passed, so I don't see any impediment there. They're making adjustments as needed, and then in terms of the second question, I'll ask Dawn Steele if she'd come and address that.
Dawn Steele with the Department of Human Services.
Yes, so in terms of the 27,000, that represents what we consider our traditional Medicaid population, which is largely children. It also includes women and then some of our disabled populations like long-term care. We also then have populations that are served through our PASS program and through our Arkansas Works program, but those are different. They have different programs through which they're served, but yes, for this population, we know that it does include long-term care residents. And we know that there are often times where the numbers are not necessarily being reported. So that's definitely one of the things that we're trying to encourage through the use of this vaccine administration increase, is both to have those one-on-one conversations that we heard from Secretary Key are so critical, but also to be able to make sure that as those vaccinations are happening, we're getting shots in the arms, we're getting those recorded, and helping to keep people safe.
Governor Hutchinson?
Regarding Arkansas Works population vaccination?
We can get those. If you want to email Amy, we'll be happy to get those to you.
Governor Hutchinson?
Yes.
Yes, the White House today said you'd had a phone call about COVID-19 with President Biden. How did the call come about, and will Arkansas be receiving any additional federal assistance?
Well, thank you, Frank. And yes, yesterday I had a call from President Biden. There was not anything prearranged for that. He simply called me, and he applauded our efforts here in Arkansas. Thanked me for we talked quite a bit about the community COVID conversations and our town hall meetings. And then he did offer assistance. Now, He wants to be supportive, just like he does with other states, but he knows the challenge that we face. And I told him we had currently the COVID surge team here in Arkansas making a report that I'd be reviewing. So it was a very congenial conversation. I did raise the issue about FDA approval and I was encouraged that the president indicated that the FDA has indicated that they hope, I believe it's within 3 weeks, to have the final approval decision made. So it was a good conversation. I was grateful for his interest in Arkansas and that he recognized all the work that we're doing under very difficult circumstances.
Hey, Governor, this is Mitch at Channel 4 and Fox. Baptist Health announced yesterday that it did not have any ICU beds available for most of the day. Based off of today's report, hospitalizations continue to increase. This morning, COVID.com reported only one COVID ICU bed available. What happens when that hits zero, when there are no ICU beds available across our state? And also, that ICU bed availability number, does that include locations like the VA?
No, the VA would be outside of that COVID.com mix, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that is correct. And then, is that Renee over there? You might have to help me out here. Please come up here. I think you can add to this conversation, Renee. But in terms of the space, what happens is that you'll have an ambulance that will bring a COVID patient in or some other medical emergency, and if they do not have ICU space, then they have to wait. And that's the problem, because you're, you know, if an ambulance waits for 4 or 5 hours for a space to free up, then they can't respond to other emergencies. So all you can do is wait till a bed becomes available. Now, the hospitals are utilizing, if you want an ICU bed or if you want a medical capable bed for a COVID patient, they're going to take care of the patients, but there's wait time involved and you can't always get that level of care that you would in an ICU. But Renee, can you come up here and answer that? Renee Mallory is our chief of staff at the Department of Health, who has worked on this consistently and has more specifics.
I think the governor did a great job of answering that question. We are working constantly. You know, he referred to a couple of proposals that we had approved last Friday. We're in the process of getting those agreements signed, and so those hospitals can reach out and get staffing for those additional beds to be able to put patients in. We're working diligently and as quickly as we can to get extra beds available. We will continue to monitor the need for additional beds, and we have additional proposals, and we will look at those at the time that we feel we need additional beds, if that happens.
Let's just take one or two more questions, if there are any.
Jumping off that question, Rashida Holgan with Action News 5 out of Memphis. Are there any conversations about transporting patients possibly to Memphis area hospitals, or do you know of any conversations happening around that?
Conversations about utilizing Memphis area hospitals?
Yeah, with the shortage of ICU beds in the state.
Well, and the answer is that, in the West Memphis area, that is one of the go-to hospitals. So I think that is continuing to be an option. Obviously, the bridge, when it was not repaired, caused a real problem with that. But now that it's operational, then that is absolutely an important option for Eastern Arkansas residents in that area. One final question. Andrew, you had one, I think, and then Michael.
Yeah, on the masks that you're trying to get for schools, do you have a cost estimate of how much it's going to cost for the state to get those? And what's the challenge in trying not being able to get those before school starts?
Well, and Johnny's really worked hard on that. And can you comment as to on the time frame, Secretary Key?
Education Secretary Johnny Key.
We've been working with Director A.J. Gary at Department of Emergency or Division of Emergency Management. And as far as the adult sizes, they have substantial quantities of masks available. The challenge is for the smaller sizes for the younger children, and since that's the population of students that do not have a vaccine available, the emphasis is to try to make those size masks. The supply chain is very limited with respect to that size. So that's the challenge right now. We have, in the previous ESSER funding under the state set aside, we have $500,000 left from some money that we had set aside specifically for PPE. We are looking at using those funds that are available, and we are still gathering the total prices. Obviously, we'll be working very hard to get those in and drop shipped either to the co-ops or directly to the schools by the time school starts on Monday.
Yeah, and just to add to that, we have ample supply in our warehouse of masks that are suitable for those older children. And so we can get those to the schools immediately. The others we will be having to get from the manufacturer, as Secretary Key said, to get those out. Mike, last question.
Have you decided who you're going to hire as outside legal counsel, and will that be financed out of the governor's budget, or do you have to ask for additional appropriation?
No, good question. No, that is would be out of our operational budget, so we have adequate budget for that out of the governor's office. And secondly, I have identified counsel. We're not prepared to announce it yet. Thank you.
This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Alexandria Brown. Governor Asa Hutchinson just got done wrapping up his live press briefing on the coronavirus pandemic. Just to give a recap of what was said, Arkansas reported 2,620 new coronavirus cases. There were 24 new deaths. Hospitalizations increased by 59. The governor said testing continues to be significant because people are asking for it, and he said it was a strong vaccination day with 11,466 doses given. He also announced that Medicaid beneficiary vaccination rates are significantly low. Only about 20% of the vulnerable population is fully vaccinated, which he says is really low, and the state has to do better in getting them vaccinated. One way to improve this, he said, is for physicians to educate the beneficiaries and encourage them to get vaccinated. There will be a program called Stop the Hesitation to Get the Vaccination to encourage students in schools who are 12 and older to get the vaccine. The governor said they are watching the ICU beds and taking action. He said hospitals are having to monitor other healthcare needs to make sure there is enough space available for more ICU beds. He says in terms of the ICU beds being limited, we're in worse shape than we were in January. He said that he will be convening a meeting with his winter task force about the scarce hospital space and says it is a bad time to get sick. The governor did applaud the General Assembly in supporting using American Rescue Plan funds for using those funds to expand hospital space and for staff to oversee it in hospitals. Last week, he proposed $20 million from the American Rescue Plan Fund should be used to this matter of scarce hospital space. Yesterday, there were only 8 ICU beds left, and today he said there are just a few more than that, which is why he reinstated the state needs to work to reduce cases, because he said hospital space may be limited for some time in the foreseeable future. The governor also said he will be seeking an outside counsel to show his viewpoints on the case where an Arkansas judge temporarily blocked the state from enforcing a law that prevents schools and other government entities from enforcing mask mandates. He says there will be additional information on that. Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero said 36% of children 12 and older have received a single dose of the vaccine, and about 28% have only been fully vaccinated. Romero said there has already been one coronavirus outbreak at a school and says it is possible there could be another one without proper masking and people getting vaccinated. Education Secretary Johnny Key reinforced that it is a recommendation for students to wear a mask, but it is not a requirement. He says now is the time to make sure schools are making the decisions that are best for their students to keep them safe. And just to give a recap of today's coronavirus report, there were 2,620 new coronavirus cases, 24 new deaths, and hospitalizations increased by 59. We will resume to here now. That's already in progress. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR.